Good morning on this lovely, sunny, mild morning, according to some. Not to me, but it's lovely to see the sunshine. Okay, so let's have the notices for this week. On Wednesday the 5th, it's home group at 7:30 at Neil and Avril's home. On Friday the 7th, it's a church cafe at 10 a.m. in the church hall. And the craft group will meet at 10 a.m. on Friday in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday, the Sunday service will be at 11 a.m, led by David DePledge. And the worship warriors will meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. This is an advance notice for Thursday, the 13th of February. It'll be the funeral of Mabel Manley at 10:30 in the church. I've got another notice this morning. The Wesleyan Reform Union General Meeting is on Saturday, the 8th of March, at Rushton Mission Church and also on Zoom. We're allowed to send one representative from this church, and then anyone else can go along and can attend. If you would like to be the representative for Aldermans Green Free Methodist Church, have a word with Dave to see what it involves. But if you'd like to attend, can you let us know and we'll let you have the link so you can book on. There is a deadline of the 23rd of February. But if you want to be the representative, we're only allowed one because we get one vote. See Dave to see what it entails. I'd like to welcome Roger to lead us in our service this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Ooh, good to see you all. For anybody who doesn't know, my name is Roger Gadsby. I'm a local lay preacher and what else? A retired doctor. That's probably all you need to know. And connections to the area. I was born and brought up in Foleshill, so I'm a local lad. We're going to be thinking this morning about humble service and just some words that Jesus said. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Jesus, in many different places in the Gospels, emphasizes that his followers are to be servants of one another, not people who lord it over one another, boss each other about, but people who serve each other. And that's going to be one of the emphases of our service this morning. We're also going to be, in just a few moments, sharing around the Lord's table, remembering that Jesus' greatest act of humility and service was to give himself for his body to be broken, his blood to be shed, that we might be made clean, forgiven, and death couldn't hold him. He rose again on the third day and is alive forever as our living Lord Jesus. And we sing to his glory and his praise. Our first hymn, "Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son."
Thank you.
Let's pray together, shall we? Our Lord and our God, we worship you this morning. We thank you for all that you've done for us. And as we've been singing in that hymn, we praise you and thank you, our Lord Jesus, for coming to this world, for dying on the cross of Calvary, and for rising again from the dead. And we celebrate your life and your presence with us as we worship you this morning. And we pray that as we now turn to share in this act of communion, as we break bread and as we drink wine in remembrance of all that you've done for us, that, Lord, you'll draw close to us, that we may know your presence here in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, as we worship you. Help us to be close to you, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we come to share communion together. Some words of invitation. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come, not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come, because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come, because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He also said, I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he'll live forever. The bread that I will give is my own flesh, given for the life of the world. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to your table, trusting in your mercy and not in any goodness of our own. We are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But it is your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. So feed us with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, that we may forever live in him and he in us. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper when he writes, for the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this represents my body, which is broken for you. We will eat the bread as we receive it, reminding ourselves that our relationship with God needs to be on that individual and personal level as we share in communion together. The body of Christ was shed for us.
And after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This represents my blood, which is shed for you." We'll retain the cup after we've been served, so that we drink together, reminding ourselves that though our relationship with Jesus needs to be on the personal level, once we are in fellowship with Jesus and know him as our Lord and Saviour, we're joined with the family of God, represented here in this place at Alderman's Green, as we worship God together. The blood of Jesus was shed for us. Let's drink together in grateful thanks for all that God's done for us in Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we? Most gracious God, we praise you for what you have given and what you have promised us here. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now, we give ourselves to you, and we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and that our love may be your love, reaching out into the life of this world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. We sing a chorus of praise, "There is a Redeemer," as we're reminded of all that Jesus has done for us on the cross. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son.
There is a Redeemer.
Now, in grateful thanks for all that God's done for us, we'll take up our offering for God's work. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Lord and our God, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we can't earn your favour, but in gratitude for all your love to us, we bring these gifts of money and we pray for your blessing on them as they are used for your work here in this church and further afield. We pray your blessing on this money in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We turn to our prayers of intercession as we lift the needs of the world to the Lord. We'll pray for some of the big issues in our world today. Then we'll do the Bible reading, and then we'll turn in prayer to pray for more local issues and things of concern to us in the church here and in Alderman's Green. So firstly, we come to pray for the world. Let's join, shall we, together in prayer as I lead us. Our Lord and our God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we come to bring the needs of our world to you. Lord, a world that you created perfect, harmonious, loving, and a world that through our rebellion and sin has turned into a world of war and famine, disunity, discord, selfishness and unhappiness. Lord, it's a mess as we see on our news day by day. Our world is in a mess and we come to plead with you in prayer for the needs that are portrayed on our television screens, on our internet, on our newspapers every day. Lord, for the situation in Gaza, we pray that the ceasefire may continue, that hostages may be exchanged, that the negotiations for a permanent ceasefire may proceed, and for the rebuilding of the broken down and battered housing in Gaza, in Lebanon and in the Middle East. We pray for a lasting peace. We pray, Lord, that you will give to the leaders on both sides of the conflict that willingness, that desire to pursue peace. And Lord, that prayer that we pray for Gaza and the Middle East, we pray too for Ukraine, that Putin and the Russian regime may see the error of the way of their ways and may want to withdraw and have peace negotiations in Ukraine. And we pray somehow that you will give the leadership in America that wisdom
to know how to be able to bring this about or facilitate the end of the warfare between Ukraine and Russia. Lord, there are situations going on in Africa that we don't hear so much about. In Somalia, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, in Sudan. And Lord, we pray for a peaceful end to the bloodshed and violence in those places too. We pray for the newly liberated Syria, that the different factions, the different religious communities, the different cultural and ethnic groups in Syria may be prepared to work together to rebuild and redevelop a prosperous country. Lord, have your mercy on Syria, we pray. And Lord, for our own country, we pray. We pray for wisdom for those who lead us in Parliament. We pray for our MPs. We pray for our government, for our Prime Minister and members of the Cabinet, for the Shadow Cabinet. And we pray, Lord, that we may be wisely led and that you will enable those who know you in Parliament, for the Christian MPs that we have, that you will give them your wisdom and your guidance and your help as they pray and talk and seek to influence the government to Christian policies. Lord, we bring all our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. So our reading for this morning is from John's Gospel, and it's from John chapter 13, and it's the first 17 verses. The well-known account of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. So we read from John chapter 13 and verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he'd come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. You are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now you know these things. You will be blessed if you do them. Amen. And we pray that God will enable us to understand and apply his word as we think about it together in a few moments. But before we do that, let's turn, shall we, to prayer again and to pray for our situation here, for the church at Alderman's Green, for the community in Alderman's Green, and for one another. And I'll leave a time of quiet at the conclusion of our prayer so that we can each in our hearts remember individuals known to us who need God's touch at this time. So let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we come to pray to you for our local needs. Lord, you are interested in all the big stuff in our world, but also the details of our lives. And so we bring the detail of our lives to you. Lord, there are people in our congregation, in our community, who need your touch of grace and love. And we pray, Lord, that as we pray for them, they may know your presence with them for healing, for encouragement, for help. Lord, we pray for this church. We pray for its leadership and its congregation, that you will enable this church through its ministry and work, through its day-by-day activities, its week-by-week Sunday services, that you will enable this church to be a beacon of light and hope and your love in this community. May people know that this church shines for Jesus in this area. And we pray, Lord, for the community in Alderman's Green, that you might bless and encourage and draw people to yourself and build your church in this area, we pray. Lord, we ask for your blessing on all that is done in your name in this place, that in the different activities people may be drawn along to attend, that people may come and may receive something of your love and your welcome. Lord, we know that there are people known to us who need your touch. People who need your touch of healing, your touch of encouragement and love and your presence. And so in a moment of quiet, we name individuals before you in our minds and in our hearts. So, Lord, we gather up our prayers, the spoken prayers and the unspoken prayers of our hearts. And thank you that you hear and you will answer. For we bring our prayer in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. We sing again to the praise of God, a lovely hymn from the Welsh Revival that was rediscovered a number of years ago. Here is love, vast as the ocean. great to sing four verses of that. I'm only used to singing two, and Dave introduced me to the last two verses, which were great. Thank you very much. People walked everywhere in the time of Jesus. There was no public transport, nothing to give you a lift. You had to walk everywhere. If you were slightly richer, and as a family might have a donkey, you might occasionally ride on the donkey. But most of the time, the donkey would be packed with the possessions you were moving, with the things that you were seeking to move about. So you'd walk everywhere. And most people walked barefoot. Again, richer people might have an open-toed sandal as a bit of protection against the hard ground. But most people walked barefoot. And the ground they were walking on, there was no roads and pavements. It was rough ground. It would be dusty and dirty, and not to put too fine a point on it, there would be dog poo and cow poo and all sorts of unpleasant stuff on the ground. And it was a hot climate, so your feet would sweat. And all this dirt and gunge and poo would stick to your feet. And your feet would smell. And they'd be black and caked with stuff. So, whenever you went into somebody's house, there was a job to do to clean feet. Not only to make it nicer for you to have all that gunge and dirt washed off your feet, but also for your host, who didn't want all that gunge and dirt brought into their house, thank you very much. So there was a job to be done of washing feet. But as you can imagine, it was a dirty, smelly, unpleasant job to do. And so it was the person who was the least in the household who got to do that job. It was the servant. Or if the household was a richer one and had slaves, it would be the slaves. But the lowest of the low, the person who was at the bottom of the pecking order in that house would do the job because it was dirty and smelly and unpleasant. The lowest of the low. So when we read, as we have done, of Jesus doing that service that only the lowest of the low would do, Jesus doing that servant service to his followers, what on earth are we expected to understand by that act of humble service? What does it mean? What was Jesus saying? Well, we don't have to speculate. Jesus tells us precisely why he was doing it. Yes, there is the picture that Jesus was portraying, that he would sacrifice himself on the cross, the act of humble service on the cross itself. But the main point Jesus says is, You call me teacher and Lord, rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So Jesus doesn't leave us in any doubt that the main point of this lived out parable, this act of humble service, is Jesus telling his followers, do the same. So the challenge comes to us, and the application comes to us. What does it mean for us today to follow the example of Jesus in our lives, in the life of this church, in washing one another's feet? We don't, thank goodness, do we, have to actually wash each other's feet because we're all wearing socks and shoes, aren't we? Well, sorry, I'm not looking down, but I'm wearing socks and shoes. And and my feet, I had a shower yesterday, honest, and my feet are reasonably clean. And we have protection for our feet as we walk along. And we have pavements, and we have roads. And we don't need to walk through dirty, smelly ground with dust and dog poo and everything else on it. We're protected in our feet. So actually, literally, we don't need to wash one another's feet. But if Jesus says this is an example, what is it that we need to do for one another? And I was thinking, well, what's the most unpleasant, smelly job that we might have to do in service for one another? Well, I thought of cleaning the toilets. And I'm sure if a call went out for someone to regularly clean the church toilets, it wouldn't necessarily be the job with a queue of people queuing up to do it, would it? The smelliest job I ever have to do at home is unblock one of my drains, which has a habit. It's the drain that drains the kitchen sink, and it's it blocks. I think it's a bit narrow or something or other. And that's a horrible, horrible smelly job. You have to have the gloves up to you, and it smells and it's ghastly. And then you have to have your clothes washed, because somehow the smell gets on your clothes, doesn't it? So there's all of these sort of almost, how can we make the smelly, horrible job of washing your feet, bring that into the 2025 and apply it to Alderman's Green and apply it to us? So there may be some smelly jobs like that, but probably Jesus is taking that particular job and saying, my followers, congregation here at Alderman's Green, as followers of Jesus, you are to be servants, serving one another, serving your neighbour, serving the community. And I thought in my mind of other examples of where Jesus is telling his people to be servants, to give us some more example. And from the famous parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25, Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. So is there a task for the Christian church in feeding the hungry? Of course there is. Today, even in the United Kingdom, with our welfare state, there are people who are suffering from hunger. And over 50% of the food banks that happen around our country are Christian-based, run by churches, often associated with a national charity called the Trussell Trust. And food banks provide a vital service. And Christians, praise God, followers of Jesus, following in the example of Jesus, are working in food banks and providing food into food banks to help feed the hungry. And Christians give generously across the world to charities and Christian agencies that seek to bring food to those in need. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Well, praise God, I don't think we shouldn't have anybody in this country thirsty, because we've got free water. Or water at relatively cheap cost. But again, Christians give in service to Jesus. There's water aid, there's toilet twinning. There are organisations that seek to provide fresh water and sanitation to countries where that isn't a regular thing. I was a stranger and you invited me in. So acts of humble service, like washing the feet of strangers, helping strangers, encouraging them. And interestingly, I understand that the derivation of that stranger, that word stranger, is the same as the Old Testament uses the word about alien. And the nearest translation we might have to bring it up to date is refugees. So we have a responsibility as Christians, as followers of Jesus in the UK, to be people who invite in refugees, support refugees, help refugees. I needed clothes and you clothed me. Again, there's a ministry that provides children's clothes, free children's clothes, for those in poverty that can't afford clothes for children. And charities that provide low-cost clothing. I was sick and you looked after me. The importance of caring for our neighbours, our family, our friends who are unwell. The need for us to be good neighbours in caring for those who need looking after. And I was in prison and you came and visited me, and the whole area of prison ministry and supporting chaplains and workers who are working in prison. And I just used those last few minutes as an example. I am sure that if you prayerfully think through, there are things that God wants you to do as acts of humble service. The equivalent today of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. I am sure if you go to the leadership of the church, they will say, yes, we need more help. We need more help in this particular activity. We need more help in this other particular activity. On the refreshments rota, on the welcoming rota. I guess this church is like many others, and particularly I was thinking of my own church. We've got rotas for this and rotas for that, and we're always in need of more people to help. So there are things, I am sure, that if you prayerfully thought about it and asked others, there are opportunities for humble service in this church and in the ministry and work and activities of this church that you can do. We may not need to do the rather smelly, unpleasant job of washing each other's feet today. But the fact that Jesus did that for his disciples gives us this mandate that if we are followers of Jesus, we need to be people who do acts of humble service. The things that other people might not want to do, the jobs that others might think, ooh, I don't want to do that, that's beneath my dignity. Jesus calls us to serve him by doing the equivalent of washing each other's feet. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Lord and our God, we want to be your followers. We want to obey what you call us to do. And we take on board this challenge that you've given us this morning to do in 2025 what the equivalent of washing the disciples' feet was 2,000 years ago. The job of service, of humble service, perhaps that others would not want to do because it's too beneath our dignity or too unpleasant a job. But as your followers, Lord, we realise that you challenge us and you encourage us to do it. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And before I close, the fascinating thing is, Jesus says, now that you know these things, i.e. what to do, you'll be blessed if you do them. So actually, if you do acts of humble service, you will know God's blessing. It might seem in human terms to be something really rather unpleasant, and that something you've got to wash your clothes after you've done it, maybe, I don't know. But you're going to get blessed, because that's what Jesus says. That you're going to be given encouragement and blessing from God for doing it. So it isn't just horribleness and doing it with gritted teeth because it's what Jesus told me to do, but I don't want to do it. We're going to get blessed because our world is built by God in this way that serving others, helping others, brings blessing to us. We couldn't end a service about talking about servanthood without singing Graham Kendrick's amazing hymn, From Heaven You Came, which says, now let us learn how to serve and in our hearts enthrone him. Other needs to prefer, for it's Christ we're serving, the servant king. From heaven you came. Thank you.
Shall we bless one another by saying the grace? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.